have ever dreamed of sailing across oceans to exotic places, or you just like to cruise the coast or your local lake, then this podcast is for you. In this episode, we'll talk about what we've been up to the last 5 months. We'll catch up on some sailing and cruising news, and we'll talk about the latest products we've found to help with your cruising adventures. Welcome to the Sailing Road. Hello and welcome back to the Sailing Road. I am Steve Paymet and I am joined by my lifelong cruising partner, my beautiful wife, Brandy.
Hey, that's still me. It's been a while, but it's still me.
Yeah, we are back for the first time as husband and wife.
I know, it feels a little strange chatting again, but I'm excited.
Yeah, so it's been 5 months since our last podcast, and we've had pretty much a couple of emails a week asking when we're coming back, and we have just been extremely busy with getting our new life settled and everything we've been up to. So what have we been up to for the last 5 months?
I think the question is what haven't we been up to?
It's true.
Well, we haven't been up to the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Or videos.
And videos, but we're getting there. Well, what do we do? December was a busy month, so we got married, I think, which was the last time that we spoke to everybody. We were getting married, so we're married. We bought a house.
Yeah. We got married in 8 days.
We got married in 8 days. I'm not sure on where we left the podcast on that.
Yeah, I think we were just starting the planning or knew that we were going to be getting married, but we did it, pulled it off, 8 days, had all our family and friends there in 8 days. And
well, I wouldn't say all of our family and friends. We had our closest family and friends, and then we had a gathering that night at a local city that we thought we could get everybody together with. So we did that, and then 2 weeks later, we bought a house. So we moved into the house before the beginning of the year, and with that comes tons of house projects and honey-do lists. And
yeah, we probably had 100 items on the list. We probably still have 20 or 30 on there, but
yeah, you think one project's going to be small, and then you end up doing it for hours and boot everything else off of the list, and then you're like, all right, I'm done with that for the day. So it's just been busy. You know, life takes hold of you, and you know, if you put things on the back burner, and then you just slowly start realizing, hey, we're getting away from what we love doing, and that was the podcast. So here we are.
Yeah, well, it's just the fact of life that the podcast does take quite a bit of time, and the minute you stop doing it and all these new things come in, it easily fills up that time. We do this in our spare time and at night on the weekends, and I've been traveling a lot for work. So that it's very hard once you stop doing it. Life quickly fills in that gap. And so we made a goal to get a podcast out by the end of May,
and we got
a week to go here, so we're recording this. We got a week to get it edited and out, so we'll do our best to make that happen. But it's been really good getting the house and getting everything settled. I think, you know, buying the house is kind of it compared to everything else you hear about sailing and cruising, is the antithesis. Everybody's talking about downsize, you know, sell everything.
And we did get a lot of comments on that. A lot of our friends who know, you know, we have this future plan of buying the bigger boat and living aboard, and they're like, well, what do you mean you're buying a house? Well, we still have to live somewhere until we buy that boat. And, you know, we have a plan for this house, and we have a plan to still get the bigger boat. So it's the way life happened.
Everybody has a different cruising plan for the future. And I think the more we've investigated this and the more we've looked into it, I truly believe that our eventual cruising plan will be more like 6 months on the boat, 6 months at home.
Right.
And it's just the nature. It's a combination of family that we like to be around, the fact that, you know, you have a chronic illness with cancer that needs to be treated. And it's very hard to pull all that together and say we're going to be. And the fact that I think we both like having a house. It's nice to have a combination of things in your life. And sometimes when you get tired of being on the boat and rolly anchorages and, you know, quick showers and no water, it's nice to have that break from it in a place to go back to. So we bought what we think is a perfect house for that, and a kind of a combination between not having a huge house. We definitely kept the house small and on a good sized property that we can put the boat on. I think that was probably the best thing about one of the best things about getting the house is now we have a place to bring our boat home and it's always here.
And it makes things so much easier when we do trips. We definitely have not been on the boat as much as we usually would be. I think with just everything, with moving into the new house, it's kind of sidetracked us on that too. But having the boat at the house has made a world of difference for when we start packing and getting ready. And we did our annual polishing of the boat, and it was just great having it here because we were so, it was just a lot easier to take our time and do it at our own pace instead of knowing, okay, well, we got to get the boat off of the street. So, but it's been great having it on the property. It's definitely a big difference. So,
yeah, the one challenge that I have found since we brought the boat here, a couple weeks after we'd had the boat on the property, I'd gone up to work on something on the boat and found something that I was not very happy with. The new house that we have is very heavily wooded and I think is populated by, if you really spent a day counting them, probably 100 squirrels. There's squirrels everywhere.
That's minimum amount of squirrels. Yeah. We have our backyard sets into a wooded area, so we are their playground for squirrels.
And so, evidently the boat has been added to their playground because I got on board and all of a sudden noticed something strange with...
Well, we noticed it actually on one of our trips. I don't think you even noticed it when you got up on it. All of a sudden, I'm getting ready to unwrap a line or pull up the daggerboard or something, and I was like, look at this. What is this? Why does it look like that? Remember, I think it was actually our Mount Dora trip, the first trip that we actually did this season, and we'll talk about that, but, you know, I noticed that spot, and then I started noticing the winches.
So the squirrels evidently have a appetite for plastic, and they went around the boat and found several areas before I could stop them from doing it. Namely, on our boat, we have several plastic cleats. You know, it's a trailer sailor. It doesn't have high load, so we don't really need metal cleats everywhere. And so several of the plastic cleats, they chewed the ends off of them. And then our winches have a plastic or a kind of a plastic part that goes around the top of the winch, and they decided that was a good chew toy also. So a couple spots on the winches that they chewed on, and I was not happy.
Well, I think we found it quickly enough that they didn't destroy anything either, so that was good.
They didn't do that heavy of a damage, but bad enough that it's frustrating, and I was tempted to get out the BB gun and go on a a rampage, but I decided that you know, this was their home before it was our home, and we need to figure out a way to live together. So I went and got some wire cage material and made little cages to go over all the plastic parts that are on the top of the boat. And for the most part, I think I've stopped them. I found a couple other areas in this last trip that they chewed on one of the motor mounts, not the mounts, but the what keeps the motor cover on, the latches. So it's just little by little, you figure out how to keep them away from these different areas. But
I think that was also before we had just moved in and we had the boat back there and we hadn't started covering it quite yet because we knew we were going to polish and stuff. But now we're very adamant on getting it covered right away because we think the cover might help keeping them off, we're hoping anyway.
I think they'll still get in there, but...
but It's something to possibly help anyway. So.
Right. And we've also had the squirrel that decided my truck would make a good place to have a baby and raise it. So why don't you tell that?
Oh, gosh. Well, we were getting ready for a trip one weekend and saw that there was, you know, a little bit of debris underneath the hood. We pushed it away. We came back, and the following weekend, Steve decides to wash the truck. And of course, with our house being covered by trees everywhere, there was a ton of leaves in his, you know, heading underneath the hood. So he lifts the hood to get all those leaves out to wash the truck. And lo and behold, there was a baby's nest.
Well, I just thought it was something like a bird or something that was bringing stuff in there to start a nest. And I started pulling all the stuff away and pulled a couple branches away. And all of a sudden, I see this essentially a fetus.
It was
the size of my hand. We'll have to put a video up on the Sailing Road site and show it, but it was about, you know, 3 or 4 inches long, this, you know, skin-colored little squirrel fetus.
Very fresh little baby. So we relocated the nest over to one of our tree beds and went about our business, and I happened to look out the front window and saw Mama Squirrel come down and clean baby off and took it right back underneath the truck. So I hollered at Steve to go check and see if that's what she did, and sure enough, she placed that baby right in the same spot with absolutely not a drop of the nest there. So once again, Steve put on gloves and moved the baby over to the nest, and we got smart and moved the truck down to the road after we finished what we were doing with the truck. And sure enough, after watching for about 10 minutes to keep an eye on things, make sure a bird didn't come, grab the baby, Mama Squirrel came and cleaned the baby off and tucked her in her arms, and up the tree she went and back down picking up all the nests. So we saved a squirrel's life.
Yeah.
So in our sabbatical of being gone.
All of our boat and truck, our trailer sailing equipment has been overcome with squirrels, but we're dealing with it. So, but we've, at least said, it's been nice having the boat here at the house. I can do little projects. Like, I still hadn't got our VHF radio and our new chart plotter installed.
Santa Claus brought you that this year.
Yeah, so that was actually a quicker project than I thought. You know, you had to pull the wires back through and get everything set up, because the one difference that with this new equipment that I got that I was really excited about is that it has AIS in the VHF that can get integrated into the chart plotter. And I'm still learning about how all this stuff works, but I'd wired it up in the yard, kind of followed some diagrams, and was hoping I got it right. But there's really no way to test AIS when you're sitting in the yard. So the first time we went to the coast, I started getting AIS alarms. They were going off, and it was showing boats where they were going, what direction, when we'd have collision course and everything. In fact, I had to turn it off, because in the coastal areas, there's just so much traffic that you don't need it. But it really isn't needed for our trailer sailer, but it was just kind of fun to see how it all worked and how it got put together. And if we get a bigger boat, and we could actually transfer the radio and everything to it. So that went well. And I'll talk about that more in a future podcast. We'll talk a little bit about how it all integrates together. I'm still learning the manuals and things, and I'll share some tidbits that I've learned out of that. So that was good. So some of those projects are a lot easier to do with the boat at the house. And what else did we do? Well, we also had another adventure with my brother in the Everglades Challenge.
Yeah. If you guys follow us on our social media, you've seen the past several years that we've done this road crew for his brother during the Everglades Challenge, and this was another year.
Yep. So anybody that hasn't listened to the old shows or knows what the Everglades Challenge is, it's an adventure race, sailing, rowing, all kinds of small boats that launch from the Tampa Bay area. Fort DeSoto and Tampa Bay, and then sail, row, stand-up paddleboard, whatever, for 300 miles down to Key Largo in the Keys. And my brother's done this a couple times, and this year he was doing it a little bit different. He was doing it solo and on his own boat, which is a West Wright Potter 15, and no one has ever finished the Everglades Challenge in a West Wright Potter 15. I think somebody else had tried it in past years, but they didn't finish. So he wanted to be the first person to do that. And so he had got all the stuff together and got in the race, and we were his shore crew. And he did real good for the first day and a half or so. And then the problem was the winds were really high this year. In fact, they couldn't even start the race on Saturday. When they planned to start it, they had to, because of small craft warnings, had to start it on Sunday and kind of skipped Tampa Bay, which is one of the most dangerous areas to cross in the small craft advisories. And so he started on Sunday and did well for the first day or so, and then hit some really high winds when he got down south of Cape Mays. Ended up getting waked by a couple boats that really pushed him over near some shoals, and had to hide from the wind for a while, and then his anchors weren't holding, and eventually he just said it's getting dangerous and got Sea Tow to pick him up and pull him back to the last marina he was at, and I went and rescued him.
Yeah.
And picked him up, and he brought me back home, and actually he finished out. I'm going to put a video link that he did that was really nice of his whole adventure. He went down to, after that, drove his boat down to Key Largo, and then did some sailing across Florida Bay to Flamingo, which is on the south side of Florida, and back, kind of the last legs of the what people actually do in the Everglades Challenge, and had some really good sailing in some really skinny water. That's one great thing about his boat, draws less than a foot of water, could probably get down to 6-8 inches of water. He said he was bumping the bottom sometimes, had everything pulled up, and just barely scooting through some of these areas. So it's a really shallow bay, but he had some really great sailing and met up with all the guys that were doing the race. So we'll put that link to the video in there, and you guys can see that. But we've talked about, we're really trying hard to get back in the habit of doing the podcast, and we've got a lot of video material that we've stacked up, so we're going to start putting that back together again. So we promise that we'll try to do better and be more consistent for the rest of the year here. So I think we're going to take a break here, and up next we're going to talk about some of the sailing and cruising we have done so far this year.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what we have been doing as far as sailing and cruising so far this year. We haven't been totally away from the boat, although it's definitely not as much as we normally would this time of this year. We've done 8 nights on the boat so far this year, and normally at this time of year, we're going to probably be close to 15 to 20. But just because of the house and the projects and a lot of other travel we've had going on, we just have not been able to do it. But we have been getting out on a few trips, especially I think after we moved in the house and had so many house projects, and we're just got
overwhelmed.
Yeah, overwhelmed with the amount of stuff. We needed a break, and that's why we use the boat. It's a great way to get away from everything. You're not at home. You don't even think about all that stuff in your normal life, and it definitely helps de-stress in my life.
And even with our boat, it's not even that we're on the boat always sailing. Sometimes we leave the mast down and we just get away for the weekend. And I think that was our first trip that when we said, let's get away for the weekend to Mount Dora, we left the mast down and we drove over Friday after work, which is, Mount Dora is just a local little lake area near our house. It takes about, I guess, 40 minutes to get there. And there's a chain of lakes called the Harris Chain of Lakes, and I guess there's 6 lakes connected.
Right.
And we put in on one of the just regular local ramps and kept the mast down and just cruised around those lakes for the weekend. Went to an art show.
Yeah, so the Mount Dora Art Festival is one of the big art festivals in Central Florida. And Mount Dora itself is this very little quaint town and just kind of historic. So we thought about it, just planned this trip last minute and said, well, let's go over to the art festival. And we were just going to go over for the day. And I said, why don't we take the boat? It makes it easier. We can combine 2 things. The lakes are really scenic and it gives us a chance to get away from the house. And so we, like you said, put in Friday night, spent the night on anchor, literally dropped it in the ramp and probably went 300 yards away to a shoreline that didn't have any houses and just camped out for the night, anchored offshore. And then the next day, we went through the Dora Canal, which is one of the big canals that connects this chain of lakes. And if anybody follows us on Facebook, we did a Facebook Live video going through the canal. And so we'll find a link to that and put it back up here because it's
absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, really cool canal. It's kind of got a jungle feel to it, a lot of different kind of swampy areas, but just really pretty. And so we went through the canal and went over to the art show and just had a great time. I don't think I'd ever been to the Mount Dora art show.
No, and it was probably one of the biggest that I've been to and the first that I've bought art at.
Yeah. Well, we had a new house. We had to fill it with some new art. And this is a tale of caution that if you go to an art show, it's probably not good to have a Bloody Mary to start and a few beers as you're walking around, because as the day went on, more and more of the art looked more and more attractive, and we probably bought more art than we needed to, but we were having a good time, and so be careful going to an art show under the influence. we definitely spent some money, and I think we found that the more we drank, the more that animal art appealed to us, because everything that we ended up buying had some kind of animal in it.
Well, we each got an animal piece, and then we had a little bit more common sense on another set of art that we bought. So it wasn't all animal, but it was a couple pieces.
So we'll put some pictures up of our art. Brandy bought a really cool picture of a guy that does underwater photography, really colorful fish. And I got a sheep. A happy.
Yeah, amazing, right?
Who
buys
sheep?
A fish and a sheep?
Yeah. So they're proudly displayed in our home now. So we We had a good time on that trip. And then, and so we did, and we did not do any sailing that trip.
We did not.
Randy said, we were just, it was a really quick trip. We knew that we wouldn't really have time because we're going to the art show. So we really just used the boat to cruise around the lakes and stayed overnight, on, you know, two nights, and it was just good to get away. So
yeah, a relaxing little trip.
And then the next trip we did was back to one of our favorite areas we've talked about on the show a lot, was the Cortez, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key area over south of Tampa Bay. And we had put this trip together. I think we've talked about this group of boating friends that we all do trips together on a regular basis. And they're all cabin cruiser type boats. They're not sailors, but we always talk about the different areas that we discover. And for some reason, none of our friends had really ever been to this area, that the Longboat Key area and Jewfish Key, where we hang out at the sandbar and all this. So we'd been talking about it a long time. So we put together a trip and invited everybody over and had a great weekend with all our friends. So we did a Thursday through Sunday on that trip.
We did. And that was actually the first weekend that we had adult friends stay on the boat with us.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Usually we have my son and a friend or his girlfriend, if anybody at all. Usually it's just Steve and I stay on the boat. And a really close friend of mine and her boyfriend came up from Fort Lauderdale, and we met them at a ramp where we had our trailer and truck parked and got them parked, and they stayed on the boat for the weekend as well. And our boat worked out great. You know, the boat itself is excellent for four people, I think. They stayed in the...
They have to be very good friends. Anybody that's going to stay in a small tube that's 26 feet long with four people...
Well, of course. You're not going to put somebody on your boat that is high maintenance and can't use a porta potty.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to know your friends and know the people who are you're going to be surrounded with. Or it's going to be miserable not only for them, but for you too, trying to constantly, you know, show them this, do that. And, you know, you have your set ways on a boat and you hope that they can adapt to it. And these friends absolutely did.
Oh, we had a blast.
We had a great time. And we actually, that weekend, we anchored in a spot where we don't normally anchor. Usually we anchor in the anchorage at the Cortez Bridge, and friends of ours got there before us. We actually got there late on Friday, and they were over at Jewfish at the sandbar that we stayed at. So we actually threw out a front and back anchor, and we all stayed at the island that weekend.
Well, we pretty much had to because it was east winds all weekend and we'd been blowing right into the anchorage. So it actually worked out well. We were going to find a place that was blocked from the east winds, and the key, the Jewfish sandbar, actually ended up working out perfect. So it was very quiet for Friday and Saturday night. I mean, so for Thursday and Friday night. And then on Saturday, we wanted to take everybody over to the Cortez Bridge area because there's a lot of great nightlife and restaurants. And so we all moved over to the anchorage right by the Cortez Bridge. And the first issue we had, and this is the problem, you invite all your friends, you know, to a trip and you talk about this area that you love so much and that we've had so many great trips to, and you're hoping everything goes well.
Absolutely.
Nobody has any problems, that they get the same experience that we've had in the past, which is just beautiful blue, kind of Bahama blue waters, sandy areas, just in the Cortez, you know, great nightlife, and you know, row in, go to the restaurant, have some drinks, row back out to the boat, have a nice peaceful night at anchor. So we had kind of watched the winds and thought that Saturday night would be the better night to be at the Cortez Bridge anchorage. And it did, the winds had died down. They were supposed to be coming more from the south, maybe even west to be good, blocked from that anchorage. And so we went over there, and the winds definitely did calm down. They were only a couple knots and in the right direction. So we all got in our dinghies and went into the Cortez Bridge area, had a great dinner at the Bridge Tender Inn, walked around, listened to a lot of good live music, had some drinks, and then we all went back out to the boats to crash. And we were sleeping good until about
2 a.m.
2 a.m., and then for about a half hour, I kept getting woke up by the swells. And another issue we had is we all rafted up together. So we had three cabin cruisers and our boat all rafted together. And we actually put out a back anchor. And we went on a a kind of a outside part of the Anchorage at first when we first got there. Oh, that was the other issue that happened.
You're forgetting about our when we first pulled in. Steve and I were the first ones there to try to, you know, set the spot, because we don't usually have friends with us, as we said, and we were going to raft up, which is something else we normally wouldn't do in an anchorage, but we decided to do it. We got away from all of the boats that are actually stationed in there and got away so that we weren't, you know,
We didn't have to swing with everybody else.
Right, so we didn't have to swing with everybody else, and we were able to put out that back anchor and not cause problems for anybody around us. Well, while two of our friends' boat, while they were on their boat waiting for us to get settled, we had an unfriendly local who did not find it necessary for our friends to be sitting there waiting for us to finish up, and he made it well aware that he was not happy that we were there.
He was on a derelict sailboat. It had no mast. It just had a stump for a mast. Looked like it had been broken off. And, you know, just run trash all over the decks, and it looked kind of crazy. And I guess he was kind of yelling at him about being a stink boater. And then when we anchored, he was saying something. I mean, of course, all the girls were in bikinis, and he said, you know, you got all these girls that are, you know, half naked, and, you know, he just kept yelling obscenities across the water to us, and which really kind of freaked out our friends. We've dealt with a lot of derelict boaters in the past. We just usually ignore them, but I think because we were
a
bigger group, maybe he thought that we were going to play loud music all night,
or which definitely wasn't the
run
case.
Loud generators or something. I don't know. He was just crazy, but he just started yelling obscenities like crazy. And so it freaked out some of our friends, and a couple of friends had dogs on board, and they didn't want to go into shore and leave the dogs there because they were afraid that he'd get on the boat and do something to the dogs. And so it really kind of dampened
the whole evening thing. Yeah.
And we ended up moving further into the anchorage. We found a little bit wide spot that we could still anchor up and be safe, and so that kind of calmed the nerves. But this is one of the things you'll deal with if you go into these popular anchorages, is that especially in Florida, there is a lot of homeless, well, I shouldn't call them homeless because they're living on their boat, but they're derelict boats that, you know, and sometimes there's some mental illness. I think this guy definitely had some kind of mental illness going on, because he was very erratic in the way he was acting. So we got past that, but that night, we went back to the boats, and we were sleeping good. About 2 a.m., it just starts really rolling.
The wind completely shifted.
Picked up a lot. It was supposed to only be under 5 knots of wind, and we were up over 10. And it was coming across the whole intercoastal and really causing some roll. So we had 4 boats all tied together, all rolling differently. And ours is just getting bashed. And I'm, you know,
waking
up.
Yeah, we were on the end, so that made it difficult.
Yeah, so we're getting woke up every couple minutes. And finally, I grab my phone, and out of the group, there's another boater, one of our friends who's very experienced, and they've done a lot of anchoring out, and I texted him, and I said, we're thinking about moving. Are you guys awake? And he said, I was just thinking the same thing. And so we got up and ended up waking up all the other boats and getting them up and said, we're all going to head back to the island. So the fact is, we probably put up with rolling 45 minutes longer than we would have
ever by ourselves,
because we were with our friends and we didn't want to have to wake them up. But lesson learned is, if you're uncomfortable, everybody else is probably uncomfortable, and we probably should have just moved.
Absolutely.
So at 2 a.m.
Never just deal with it. Always have a second plan. You know, if you know that the winds are going to be one way, always have that second plan or another spot that you know that you can get to, because why sit there and be miserable? Yeah. It definitely doesn't make for a good evening. That's
if you don't
sure.
have a lot of choice anchorage, it's not a whole lot. But we had tons of places.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
We could have went just to the other side of the intercoastal, and it would have been fine. So we all picked up 2 a.m. We're moving all the boats. We went back over to the Jewfish Key area. Brandy and I didn't even park near the other people. We just tossed an anchor along the shoreline, threw the anchor out in a safe spot. And because you don't really know where over there, how close you are to the sandbar, because it's so dark. We didn't want to end up grounding ourselves on the sandbar. But so that was a bit of an adventure. All the friends still had a good time, and they all, you know, rolled with it, and we all figured it out.
Every time you go on the boat, and that was definitely something that we have never had to deal with. You know, I don't think we've ever actually had to get up and move in the middle of the night. We usually do pretty well with finding our anchorage, but yeah, it was fun. We had the spotlight, and it was like a whole new little adventure in the dark. So,
but we made do. So that was that trip, and then we had one more trip that we just finished a week or so ago. We went to a completely new cruising ground for us, the Fort Pierce Stewart area. And we're going to talk about that on a later show because it's a new area for us and we learned a lot about it and had some adventures on that trip too. So we'll save that one for a future show. But between all those trips, we've done 8 nights on the boat so far this year, and we're hoping to increase that now that things are settling down with the house. And
we have one more planned trip that is definitely not on the boat. We're heading to Mexico City for a week for a friend's wedding, and then after that, hopefully all of our trips will be boating after that. So yeah. We'll see what happens, but we definitely have one more set non-boating trip that we have to do, and then it should be boating after that.
Yeah, spend some time on the water. So we're going to take another break here, and when we come back, we'll get back caught up with all of our sailing and cruising news. We'll be right back.
So what you got for us?
We are back with the sailing news. In 5 months, I looked back through my list. I must have 50 things that I've pulled out for doing sailing news. So I've just got so much, I haven't even had a chance to dig through it. So I just pulled out a couple stories to get us back in the habit here of looking at the sailing news. And so,
well, you know, this is everybody's favorite part. So they're super excited for this moment. You know it. You know, listening, we have gotten emails and messages that the sailing news is the best part of our show.
Everybody has probably their different parts that they like of the show. Other people are like, I can read this stuff anywhere. But anyway, so this is just stuff that we found that was interesting that was out there. And the first one is, if you're too busy to actually do sailing in the real world, there is a brand new software game out there called SailAway that will let you do virtual cruising anywhere in the world. And so I've been looking at this. When I first saw this story, I think probably close to 5 months ago, they were just in pre-release stage, and you can get some early releases of it. Since then, now it is out in the marketplace, and it's $39.95. You can buy this program.
Oh, that's not bad.
And
much cheaper than a boat.
That's true. So for $39.95, you can cruise the world from your PC. We've talked about some of these games that do racing, like the Vendée Globe racing game that goes around the world, and this is similar to that. But I've read some of the reviews on this game, and sailors and non-sailors alike have said it is really well done, that they've really thought about a lot of things. It still needs to improve in some areas, but they said the actual sailing of the boat has been really thought out. You can reef the sails, you do all of your, how you set your sails. Everything is very realistic of the way you would run a boat. So I could see where this could be a great way. If you were a sailor and you're trying to train somebody that wasn't a sailor, of showing them virtually, just like you would in a flight simulator, how to do a lot of these things. And it's you could do a lot of different examples and how the sails would be set in different wind conditions and wave conditions and everything. So the interesting thing about this is it is truly a cruising simulator in the aspect that it takes the same amount of time to sail across the Pacific in the game as it does in real life.
That's interesting.
So what you can do is you set up, the game is an online environment. So you can set up your boat to start sailing in a certain direction, set your sails to be on a certain wind angle. And then you have to, it'll keep sailing without you. But you have to check in on it. A couple times a day you say, is it still sailing because the winds are the same? And the game actually uses the National Weather Service actual weather around the world.
Of the time that you're doing it.
Exactly. So if you're sailing from the Panama Canal to the Galapagos, it's using the weather that day for that, where you are in the world, and that's how you have to trim your sails to get there. So it's really immersive. And the wave heights, everything are the same. And the visual, the way the boat moves through the water is very accurate. The way the boat is rolling or whatever is, they say, very accurate. They said they still need to work on a lot of the graphics, like when you approach an island, It may not look like the island. You know, there's some of the graphic stuff that still needs to improve. But the mechanics of the game, they say, are really good. And they can see where developers will get on board and it'll improve over time. So
I wonder if they have any sound bits in it so that when you're going over a wave, you can hear your wife yelling at the husband or the oh shoot moments. And
you started healing too much. Would you please let the sound out a little bit?
I think we had a couple of those moments our last trip.
Can we reef a little bit? I'm going crazy down here.
That would be fun. That would really make it realistic.
Exactly. But they're adding more boats. I think they have 3 or 4 different kinds of boats you can sail on right now and things. But that's
cool. It just trains your mind more than, you know, physically doing it. So that's neat.
Like I said, it's an online environment. So they're actually doing some racing too, or you can just race amongst your friends. So you could go out with your friends just like you cruise with a group of friends and say, we're going to sail from St. Martin down to Grenada. And the first one there owes everybody a round of beer, or whoever loses owes everybody a round of beer. And you're sailing online over a couple days, you're all keeping up with how everybody else is doing in those conditions. So that would be kind of cool. So that's called Sail Away. And I'll put a link to everything. You can check it out. $39.95, I think it is. So thought it was interesting. Our next story, I kind of laughed at this one. Two Canadian sailors have been sentenced to 2.5 years in federal prison for intentionally torching their sailboat in the ocean waters off of the Washington coast. And this happened, sometime in May. U.S. Coast Guard boat Steadfast was on patrol. Oh, this was in October. In late October, and they came in contact with a 39-foot Terry A. Bitt. And it was 200 miles off of Willapa Bay. And as the Coast Guard cutter approached the boat, the two men on board set the boat on fire and then tied the rudder so the boat would spin in circles at full speed and making it almost impossible for the Coast Guard cutter to get close enough to put the fire out. And then the two men, Emerson Rome and Bradley Wise, jumped off the boat into the Pacific Ocean, which is, freezing cold up in Washington. And they were, eventually rescued by the Coast Guard cutter. So they're, the Coast Guard cutter's trying to put out this boat. They don't know what's going on. These guys are acting crazy. And after they had them on board and they got them back to shore and they did some investigation on these guys, the clothing worn by these guys tested positive for methamphetamines.
Oh my gosh.
So these guys were doing a Breaking Bad off of shore. I don't know if anybody's ever watched the Breaking Bad series, but in Breaking Bad, this high school science teacher ends up becoming a drug dealer. And because he's a science teacher, he knows how to...
A drug maker.
Yeah, he knows how to... he knows essentially the science of cooking up these drugs and cooking up meth. And in the TV show, he gets an old Winnebago camper or something like that and goes out in the desert as his place to make meth. So these guys probably took a little... said, we could do that out in the middle of the ocean. So they went and got this 39-foot boat... Set up a meth lab on board.
Do you think their lab blew up and that's how it caught on
fire? No, they saw the Coast Guard cutter coming and they said, we're going to get caught.
Oh, I see. I was misunderstanding.
And so we need to get rid of the evidence. So they set the boat on fire. Of course, it's going crazy. The Coast Guard cutter can't get close enough to it to try and put it out. The boat sinks. And these guys are actually pretty smart because they couldn't get charged with any kind of drug charges because the boat is lost. Yeah, the boat is sunk, and all that was on them was the meth on their clothes.
They could just say, I smoke meth. Had it in their hands. Oh my.
So they were later convicted, it says here, on a charge of conspiracy to commit violence against maritime navigation. So essentially, you're not allowed to purposely set your boat on fire and sink it to.
You think?
Yeah. But they didn't get drug charges, so...
That's crazy.
Breaking Bad on the water.
That kind of looks like a Beneteau.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty nice boat. So maybe they'd been doing this a while and had financed their little boat. So interesting, the things they do on the water.
And the Coast Guard not necessarily would have even done anything. They might have just been coming out to check on them.
They're 200 miles offshore. They would have boarded the boat and done probably... Yeah, that's the other thing. I don't know if we talked about in the podcast. If anybody doesn't know the rules of Coast Guard boarding your vessel. If you're off the coast of the United States, they're the one agency that does not have need a warrant to do or get on board your boat or search your boat for any reason.
Well, I knew that. I just didn't know if they absolutely always, even just seeing a boat out there, that they would necessarily board it. I mean,
not necessarily, but for some reason, maybe they, because they, these guys, if they were really cooking up meth at the time, they probably had the sails down, or they have, it shows they have their main up, but they, you know, were probably just barely moving. They were probably checking on them to make sure everything was all right. But instead of these guys trying to say, yeah, we're fine, or maybe they tried that too. And maybe they, and the Coast Guard said, well, we're going to come board you. And that's when they went crazy and did it. Who knows? So I thought that was funny.
Boating gone bad.
The next one's kind of a crazy story too. It's kind of a lark, but I thought it was funny. So a couple of adventure seekers set sail on Utah Lake, which is in Utah in the United States, inland lake, one weekend. And they quickly realized that they were over their heads in their handcrafted pirate ship, which being over their heads is literal, because adventure enthusiast Levi Harris and London Smith had constructed a boat using four inner tubes, a kitchen table, and they were using a hammock for a sail. They said it was homemade, but it worked well. It actually worked pretty well. That was until the point where the whole thing fell apart and they ended up in the cold water. But to top this off, not only had they made this boat out of inner tubes, a kitchen table, and a hammock for sail, they were both dressed in pirate costumes.
Well, you got to dress the part. If you're going to have a pirate ship and you're going to make a pirate ship, you have to look like a pirate. Come on, that only goes with it.
It says, you know, for the most part, it was smooth sailing. And I like this part. The person who wrote the story for the news story called one of the guy Captain London and his first mate. So it was, everything was going well until the whole thing fell apart and they ended up in the water. So Captain London and his first mate ended up in the water. And the water was cold enough that they got mildly hypothermic.
But they made it.
Yeah, they eventually were rescued. The emergency personnel showed up and warmed them back up. They said that they probably should have thought some things out a little bit better. The fact that they only had one life vest between the two of them on board was not good. And they said that that maybe making it out of a table was not too good a thing, but they did say the hammock sail was working surprisingly well. So they might try that again in a different way and use a hammock sail. So, but they said they'd definitely take more than one life jacket next time.
Interesting. I think that's a rule of thumb, isn't it?
So, you haven't had a chance to see this yet, but I will put a link to the story because they were shooting live video.
I thought you were going to say shooting cannons.
Well, that would have been even better from the kitchen table shooting a little mini cannon. But they were shooting live video of them dressed as pirates holding up this hammock and sailing with this inner tube kitchen table across the water. And then all of a sudden you just hear, oh no, and whoosh, underwater they go.
And the Titanic began.
Yeah. So, oh, man. Pirates in the great Utah Lake. They said they were very, very proud that they were probably the first pirates to ever be on that lake. So that's that story. And then our last story, if you're young and you want to get out cruising and you want to do a better job than the pirates did with their inner tubes and a hammock, there is a new website that I thought was pretty well put together. It's called Young and Salty. So youngandsalty.com. And this was started up by Good Old Boat Magazine. And they've recruited a number of young sailors and to share content of how they're saving up money, how they're getting on water, how they're putting boats back together that they need to. I mean, Good Old Boat's always been about, you don't need a lot of money, but you may need some skills and you may need to put some elbow grease in. And that's how a lot of these young people are able to either combine their job, you know, a part-time job and do some cruising, or save up some money and cruise for a while and then go back to working.
Oh, I would say 80% of the people that we have come across on YouTube lately are these younger generations. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're fixing up boats.
And this is key. I mean, I think this is a good thing because I've seen several stories in the last year about not just, sailing is on a kind of a downturn because it's just seen as an old man sport and the young people aren't getting into it. But there are pockets of young people that can see that this is a way to have cruising adventures, maybe even have a home. This tiny home movement is huge. So people are saying, this is going to be my tiny home on the water, and that moves, and they can go do, see different things. So I thought this was a good site, and there's some really good things on here. I mean, there's things like, one of the stories is five steps to quitting the rat race and going sailing. There's 10 sailing adventure books that you should read. Top 10 sailing vlogs that you should look at.
What's it called again?
It's called youngandsalty.com.
Cool.
So, yeah. So I thought I'd share that, and I'll put the link in the show notes. So that is it for the sailing news this week. Like I said, I've got a ton of stuff backed up on sailing news, and we'll start sharing more as we do more of the podcast. But for now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a new sailing product we found. Let's talk about our product of the week. So this week, I was looking through different things that we've used recently on the boat and what we haven't talked about in the podcast. And I just made a change over to a new sealant that I'm using on the boat. I mean, everybody uses, the 5200 sealant is common on boats to any kind of boat project. You waterproof it, through hole fittings, anything using 5200. There's a new sealant out there that I heard about that I found it really works well, and it has a lot of great advantages to it. It's called Rescue Bond XL1. And if anybody's familiar with rescue tape, it's something also that we have on the boat that it's like a self-sealing tape that you can put around any kind of fuel hose, water hose, anything, and it seals on itself. This is the same manufacturer of that, Rescue Bond XL1. And the thing I heard about this that I really liked is every time I use a tube of 5200 on the boat, I just need a little bit of it. And then I try to seal it back up again. And sure enough, when I come back to use it again, it's all hardened up and I have to try to dig out the hardened out material to get to the soft stuff that's deeper in the tube. And it's just a mess. And this material, I've tested it several times in the last couple months since I've first used it. It doesn't do that. It has a resealable cap, and it's just not as prone to hardening up like the 5200 is if you keep the sealable cap on there. So I can use it time and time again. So I'm not wasting as much material, and it's comparable in cost to 5200. So I used this when I was putting the VHF radio in and had a problem with one of the fittings on the back of the boat and had to take it off and put it back on again. And it works just like 5200. A couple hours later, it was hardened up. It stays pliable and can flex. So I'll put the link to it in the show notes. It's $10.99. A tube that goes into a standard caulk gun. And, I think it's great because $10.99 will probably last me for 2 years if it continues like it is and doesn't, if I keep it sealed up, it doesn't harden up, instead of buying a $10 tube of 5200 every time I have a project that gets expensive. So Rescue Bond XL1, I'll put it in the show notes. And just like we've talked in the past, it's been a long time since we've talked about the Amazon store, but a number of people are, we appreciate the fact that you're still using our link out there. Please, it's the number one way that we support the podcast is the Amazon link. If you, anything you buy on Amazon, use our link. It's in the show notes. It's on our website. And we have it set up for multiple countries. So if you're in another country listening to this, look for a link on our website under our resources page, and makes a big difference to us. So we really appreciate all the support that everybody gives us through Amazon. You pay the same price, and it just gives us a little commission for sending you the way of Amazon to buy your boating needs or anything else that you would buy on Amazon.
And don't forget, we are on social media. So if we ever fall off of podcast world, like we have in the past five months, you know where to find us. Check out our Facebook page or Instagram. We're constantly on there saying what we're doing, having, you know, pictures and posts coming up. So if we, if you ever wonder what we're doing for a weekend, give us a shout on Facebook. And like our pages and follow us on Instagram. Also, don't forget, we're on YouTube. We have been slacking on the videos again as well, but you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and see some of our videos that we've done in the past. And soon the videos will be back up and being produced again too. So don't forget about us.
And don't forget to share the show. This is that time of year when you're out with all your sailing friends. Please tell them about it. Tell them we're back on the air, that they should check it out and get caught up on all our old episodes. We heard from a guy, I think it was about a week ago, and he said, I just found out about your show a couple months ago, and I'm just hitting the December show, so it's about time for you guys to create some new stuff, because I'm just catching
up. And you know what? I think that email was what really kicked us in the butt, because we're like, you know, people really are sending us emails asking, where you at? What you doing? Are you guys coming back? And we appreciate those emails. Those emails are what fuels us to keep going. And we just appreciate hearing from you guys. So if you want to send us any type of information that you would like to hear from us about on the podcast, or suggestions of people who you'd like to see interviewed or hear interviewed, we love those emails. Informative helps us, you know, keep furthering the podcast down the road. So if you want to drop a line and say hello, shout out at us at crew, C-R-E-W, at thesailingroad.com.
Yep, and that is it for the show.
Ta-da! We're back, guys!
For this episode, we're back, and we really appreciate you listening. And we appreciate all your support, and we hope to see you on the water soon.
See you, everybody!